Hello, Jackson. Real number seven. Now, you spent a great deal of time on exercises in those long years in the interwar years. What would you say was one of your most dangerous moments?
Well, I think with the light tank, the speed we had to go both cross country and on the road brought with it a tremendous lot of thrills. I think the most exciting moment I had on that was coming back to Tidworth from the Tillshead area, I think it was, pretty fast. In small packets, as I mentioned, we were taught to do, and we were going, I suppose, 30, 35 miles an hour along a road just outside Tidworth, and suddenly a car came out of a side road, a track rather than a road, and didn't stop, straight in front of it. My driver was one of the driver mechanic types, a wonderful driver and person with the vehicle to look after it, and he knew every inch of it. He braked as hard as he could. Luckily, the tank behind was some distance back, and we went along sideways, finally taking the car with us for some 50 yards or so, which didn't do it any good at all. We were broadside, and the car was still broadside. Luckily, the young lady driver was not hurt. She was very shaken. And unfortunately, she happened to be the GOC's daughter. And again, I was very fortunate, there were no injuries, but the GOC wasn't at all pleased, and he let it be known that my section was going too fast and all that sort of business. However, that wasn't too bad. But I think the most dangerous thing about light tanks was the what we called opposite steering. When you were going down a hill, especially on a tarmac road, fast, if you had to, say, move slightly to the right, you pulled your right stick, and that disengaged a clutch. And before the brake could come on, the track on the right would speed up, and you would go left. And it was most disconcerting. Drivers used this as a means of steering once they were experienced. But to an inexperienced driver, all sorts of things used to happen. And we learned by sad experience that never to carry anything loose in the turret, because one of our sergeants was killed by this happening and running up the side of the bank on the road, turning over, and the jack loose in the turret killed him. But normally, if you turned over, provided you crouched down in the turret quickly, you were perfectly all right, because if the turret came off, you were down below in the cab. But there were a tremendous lot of accidents, and more than one fatality from this opposite steering. The light tank going cross country, of course, wasn't too bad for speed. Steering was not quite so, you didn't have to be quite so accurate with your steering adjustment. But I remember on one occasion, in the tank brigade exercises of, I think it was 1934, we hadn't done quite as well as Brigadier Hubbard wanted. And he had the whole brigade on parade very early in the morning on a day in which we expected to be free for the, whether it was a weekend or August bank holiday, I can't remember. At any rate, it was a day in which we were looking forward to being off duty. He had the whole brigade on parade doing drill over a very rough and difficult part of Salisbury Plain at varying speeds. And we were at this all day long on control from brigade headquarters down to regiments. And the light tanks, I think, suffered worse than all because the country was so bad. You didn't mind getting over it for the first time, but when it came round and round and round and round and round, it was very, very wearing. But I think this sort of punishment drill had its effect. We made sure that what errors we had made in the past didn't happen in the future.
How has this steering improved eventually on the night tank?
Well, it was part of the process of steering. You operated a clutch and then braked. And it was just that small period between the clutch coming out and the brake being applied that was the danger period. Well, if you brought the stick back hard, you withdrew the clutch and applied the brake rather harshly, but you wouldn't get the opposite steering. But on a road, of course, you couldn't do that because you would probably swerve out very quickly. And you had to do very light steering when going fast on the road. And that is why the experienced driver used to use this opposite steering. But it was very, very dangerous. There wasn't anything like the amount of traffic that there is today. Otherwise, there would have been a great deal more regrettable accidents.
Did you have any experience of foreign tanks during your time?
I had very little, except when I was adjutant at Lulworth just before the war. We had a Czechoslovakian tank. I can't remember its nomenclature, but it was about the equivalent of a light cruiser. They had a 37mm gun. It was very crude, and very roughly built, and gave you the suspension was very harsh, gave you a very rough ride, and the traversing and elevating gears for the gun were even worse than the medium tank of our own. It was very interesting to get it. It was really all that was required for a mass-produced vehicle. So large numbers rather than Rolls-Royce finish.
Why did you have it there?
It was bought or loaned to the War Office for some reason or other. I don't quite know what, but I know it was returned to Czechoslovakia before war started. In fact, it may have been an advantage. I don't know.
Did you have any visits at all from overseas people this time when you were at Lulworth?
I think when I was at the depot, I think it was 1938. We had a visit from the German Chief of Staff, General von Plumberg. He decided to come on, I think it was Easter bank holiday. And rather than disrupt the leave arrangements for all the recruits, one squad was kept behind. And this poor wretched squad provided the guard of honor to meet General von Blomberg and his staff. They then manned all the paraphernalia of the depot for training, recruit training. They then moved to the D&M school quickly while General von Blomberg was having a drink, and manned all the equipment down there and acted as classes being under instruction. They then moved very hurriedly to the dining room where he inspected the meal being served. While he was having his lunch, he and his staff, the squad was taken over to Lulworth, where it also provided classes for instruction and crews for vehicles which were actually firing. General von Blomberg didn't notice that it was all the same people, and even his staff, I don't think, saw that they were the same folk. But they examined everything minutely, and in fact, one of the staff officers slipped off on his own and was reconnoitering a piece of equipment we used to call the crew control range, which we hadn't in fact shown him. But he was found before he got very far. It wouldn't have made a lot of difference. It was just a simulator for the inside of a tank with a landscape shown on a screen, and you could fire the gun and the machine gun with electrically lighted dots on the screen for where you were actually aiming. It was quite a clever piece of work, and the tank itself appeared to be going across country. You had all the bumps and the problems with that. But he didn't actually see that. But when the inspection was over and he was going off, he did say that he would like to have seen some of our modern equipment. But in fact, he had been shown everything except for that one crew control range.
Well, that's a fitting point, I think, Colonel, to conclude. Thank you, Colonel.